when we are able to fully connect with you, and even when we don't understand, no matter what we're thinking, no matter what we're feeling, no matter what our opinions are, you are holy. You are holy. You are holy and righteous. You're worthy of all of our praise. You're so amazing. You're so incredible. You're so magnificent. We don't even have words that can describe you in your magnificence, in your splendor, in your might. We can try, but we fall short because we're limited, and you are not. You're not limited. You're not limited. You're complete. You're whole. You're everything. You're transcendent. You're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end. You are revelation. Revelation isn't just about you. You are. You're the great I am. You just desire that we would believe that, receive that, hold that fast in our hearts, and trust you. Trust you with our feelings and emotions and opinions and circumstances. Trust you fully, Lord, as we're on this journey that sometimes makes no sense. But Lord, you tell us to keep our eyes fixed on you, the author and finisher of our faith. You tell us, God, set your mind and everything, your mind, your thinking, your heart, your emotions on things above. When our minds are set on things above, everything else will fall into line. Even if our world's going crazy around us, we will be safe in your arms. Lord, we want to live out John 17. We want to live out the fullness of the revelation that you give us of how much you love us, why you came, Jesus, why you did what you did, and why you're still interceding for us as our heavenly brother and father and Lord and Savior and King. Jesus, our little worlds, our little meager areas of life, God, seem so big. And while they're important to you and important to us, Lord, everything pales in the light of your glory. Everything, everything. Open our eyes and ears, God. Give us the revelation from Revelation 2 and 3, starting from Revelation chapter 1, of how great you are, how big you are, and us as the church, as your bride, will fall in line so beautifully, God. Because you bring the alignment and the heart transformation. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We're so in awe of you. In the midst of what we're dealing with in our lives, God, we're in awe of you, of you. Lord, that brings unity in the community. That brings unity of hearts here. You're the God of breakthrough, the God of true connection. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, let our hearts burn today for the burning one. Let our hearts be fired up today for the fiery one. Let our hearts be consumed today by you, by the all-consuming God of the universe, the one who set the stars in motion, the one who put the mountains and the valleys and the nations in place and the seas that roar at the sound of your word and your name. For your name is lifted up high. High, so high, elevated above all else, your name and your word. God, it's who you are. Thank you that we have the privilege of discovering you as the great treasure of all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We bless your name. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless your name. We praise you, Jesus. All the earth will praise your holy name. All the earth will sing your praises. All the earth will declare that your mighty, wondrous deeds and acts. God, till the end comes. For the sake of the Lamb's reward, we will go. We will be sent ones, God. We will send the sent ones. God, we will do it. Because that's your heart, to populate your family, to increase your heart of love, to increase and make yourself known in the nations, God, to bring out the worshipers who will worship you in spirit and in truth. Let us be counted in that company of lovers. Let us be, God, the lovers of your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, God, not in a human form, but the way you understand and think, so that we would know what you're saying and doing. Not a soul that perishes, but the real person of who you are. For you are spirit, and we worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, there's no greater place. There's no greater place of fulfillment than here and now with you. We were designed to love you and to know you, to want you, to receive you. That's our portion. That's who we are, all of us, all around the world. The capability, capacity, and desire. For you are the desire of the nations, and God, let that burn in our hearts for those who don't know you or are struggling to know you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We've all been in the same boat, the boat that has separated us from you, God. There's no greater, no lesser. And Lord, thank you for coming and taking care of our sin, taking care of our ways, and just completely eradicating that from us and delivering us from the power that holds us and binds us. If we want to receive you, we can say yes. If we want to know you, we can say yes. If we want breakthrough, we can say yes. If we want to be unstuck, we can say yes. And your power is here to do it. That's the great grace upon us, the empowering grace that is here from heaven, that we do nothing to deserve. There is no merit. There's nothing we can do to deserve the great grace, the empowerment from heaven that's upon us right now. Oh, shakaraba. Thank you, God. Just lean in and say, yes, yes, you're the truth, nothing but the truth. So help me, God. So help me, God. So help me, God. Lean in and receive him today. And receive his breakthrough. Receive the transforming power of the Holy Ghost. Receive his fire right now. Lord, just come upon us with fresh fire, fresh manna, God, fresh fire from heaven, fresh manna to overwhelm us, to take us, God, into the new place that you have for us that we don't even understand. We just know we want to go there. Whatever that is, here we are. Here we are. We give ourselves fresh and new to you today. Here we are. Take us, Lord, into that secret place that's celebrated, into your heavenly throne room, God, that so turns us upside down, that we would run after the upside down kingdom, the kingdom that comes and reigns on earth as it is in heaven, as you see fit. We call that out in fullness, God, and we do not shrink back or apologize for the fervor and fire in our heart, God. Take us to that next place, God. We're willing. We'll walk through that door. We'll run through that place, God. Give us that holy inner resolve to say yes and amen. I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere. Nothing will hold me back because I hold on to you, because you're the one empowering me. You're the one moving me into that next place. Take me, Jesus. I'll go. Here I am. I'm your willing lover and servant and child. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. You are the great I am. You are the great I am. Can we sing that out? You are the great I am. Let's sing out his holiness. Let's sing to the King of the nations. The King of the nations, God. Let's sing that out. Let's sing it out. You are, you are, you are the great I am. Oh, shakarababa. Oh, no. Yes, Present yourself. I present myself to you, Lord Jesus. Here I am. Forgive me. I repent. I turn away and I turn to you. I can only do that by your grace, by your empowerment. Some can come up here and pray for those who are presenting themselves fresh and new. The Lord loves humility. The Lord loves when we offer ourselves and say, Lord, here I am. Just come, Jesus. Come and offer yourself. Maybe you've held on to something, or maybe something's held on to you. However that looks, today's the day to just say no more. You draw a line in the sand. It's a no more day. No more. I go forward and I receive you. The fullness of you, my God, my King. Set me free. Deliver me of all unrighteousness. Bring me out of the traps that I've been in. Maybe it's pornography for a long, long time. And you're so ashamed you don't even want to say it. You don't want anyone to know. No one knows what it is that holds us back. But as we come together as a family, just come and present yourself. The Lord will take it from there. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever it would be, if it's just your whole life, which is everything for us, come. Just come to the table. Our God is here today to meet us. To meet us. To satisfy every need. He says, come to the banqueting table. I will give you rest and sustenance, and I will feed you. I will feed you fresh bread today. Fresh bread, fresh manna today. Holy One is here amongst us today. The anointing is here to break the yoke. Thank you, Jesus. Don't be concerned what anyone else thinks or what they might see. You're here, an audience of one for the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Fresh beginning. Thank you, Lord, taking us into the deepest places of love and grace. Your fiery furnace of love, God. We just give you our all. We give you our relationships. We give you our marriages. We give you our circumstances. We give you all the people around us. We give you the struggles that we've had. Addictions, struggles, strongholds, whatever, anything that would hinder us from knowing and feeling that freedom that comes from just connecting with you and saying, here I am, take me. Thank you, Jesus. Breakthrough today. Breakthrough today. Still here, those who are receiving back in their seats and those who are up in the front. We want to read over you the words of life that the Lord gave us, many of us who were here on New Year's Eve and then this past Thursday for a corporate gathering. Just stay where you are on the floor. Just stay, rest, stay in wherever you are. Just rest and receive. Amazing time as a family on New Year's Eve. We ate together and played together and had fun together. It was just great. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. It was so great just to come together and just have so much joy and just hanging out. People forget that that's pleasing to God. We loved it. With that, we continued to have fun and worship the Lord before the new year rang in. And it was beautiful, just a celebration of the goodness of God to him, to worship him. And then the Lord just broke out with different words that were released from what he had said in 2018 and 2019, some new words. Thank you, Jesus. So we recorded them. And then we gathered on Thursday for a corporate gathering as part of Fire and Incense this week. And there were many other words that were spoken in addition to that. I think we have a copy of that somewhere. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to ask, Josh, could you highlight these for us since you were here on New Year's Eve? Could you do that? Yeah, I could come up. I'll bring it up. So I'm going to find the ones from Thursday and then read these over at Rach. I don't know if you have a copy of that or Michelle. And you can narrate anyway. You can add what you want to that. Those were just some of the things that were taken off of the recording. But you can add to it in terms of the kids, what happened, if you would. How the Lord just took over. And we ended that night at in complete silence. We're all sitting here. This is way after the new year, after this prophetic time. couldn't even move. It was silent and quiet. The little children were involved. So this was a prophetic time that even five-year-olds, six-year-olds were just saying things from their heart. It was simple. It was the most simple time on New Year's Eve, then New Year's Day, that we've ever had. It seemed different. It was different. So all of it together was so Jesus, so beautiful. And then I had a vision after that I can share at the end. So, do you have that?
So, after we transitioned from, you know, worship and celebrating the new year, and Jordan opened up the session and mentioned about the Lion of Judah. What characteristics make the Lion of Judah unique, make a lion unique, and talked about his boldness, his courageousness, his relentlessness. And then we just asked the Lord, you know, what he would like to speak over us, through us for 2019. And there was a lot of sharing from the very young ones to the older young ones. And Tiana heard the word acceleration, and our precious Elijah said that if we die with Jesus, he will make a new earth and we will get to see Jesus. Sorry, if we die, Jesus will make a new earth and we will get to see Jesus. So Troy echoed that we're going to see Jesus in 2019. Josiah shared with us. He said, I picked three things, not one thing, because I really love him. And he said, love, joy, and peace. Carly talked about greater intimacy this year. Pastor Bill mentioned that this will be the year of the pioneer. Seth said that my fruit of the Spirit is patience. Patience is a good word. And Gabe said, in the way only Gabe can say, powerful Lion of Judah. And Judah, after that word, said purity. Rachel said, believe and receive. I felt that those that sow in tears will reap in joy. So the tears sown in 2018 will reap joy in 2019. And all the prayers that have gone up as incense and stored in heaven in 2018 will be poured out as provision and answers in 2019. Isaac encouraged us that we would have courage and boldness so we can fulfill the Lord's prophecy. Denny was encouraging us to believe for explosive fire, explosive joy, and great rest this year. Michael Kiagaba shared Isaiah 55:11. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purposes for which I sent it. So that our efforts are important, and the things that God has promised are important, because in the end, his will be accomplished. We had I think you shared in the back, receiving the daily sanctification of God. Was that right? Yeah. Yearning for him daily and never losing sight of him. And we had some beautiful songs that were sung out as well. Andy said that the Lord will reveal more of his heart for Israel in 2019. Then we talked about having endurance as well. And then Pastor Mary Pat shared a few things. Do you want me to share those that you have written down? Okay. So greater stability, inheriting the promises in the midst of great breakthrough, great increase in knowing others by the Spirit, empowering grace to know people in the Spirit, new dimensions of grace, great grace which will breed revival, unspeakable encounters, leaving us breathless, suddenlies, things we've been waiting to experience, personal healings, personal issues and problems being healed and set free, greater expansions, watching what God will do, spiritual understanding, creating new depths of hope, where hope has been deferred, God restoring hope, and new beginnings tethered to new levels of fortitude and strength. Like I said, we also had some songs that were sung out where we just basked in what God was singing over us and through us. So it was a powerful time. Awesome.
So then after we were leaving on New Year's Eve night, New Year's Day, Pastor Mary Pat was pulling out and she saw some deer out in our, maybe I'll let her tell that.
After our time here, I was leaving, it was probably around 2:30 or something. 1:30, 2:30, Carly, whenever that was, so there weren't too many cars on the road. And I was turning left out of the driveway, and as I wasn't really thinking about deer being on the hill right over here, the high point, and in my mind's eye, I just kind of glanced, and I heard the word seven. There are seven deer. It was like, oh. So I'm going very slowly, and I saw one in the moonlight, and then I saw a bunch. And I started to count them, and then a car came behind me. So there was one, two, three, four, five, six, and this car was up, and I couldn't see it, so it may have been behind, but I do believe there were seven. That's what I believe, because I heard it first before I saw it. And they were standing upright and stately, looking as though, oh, I'm authority here, and I'm resting, and immediately I thought of Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2, as the deer pants for water. So my soul pants for you. I thirst for you, God. And it was just really, you're just kind of a dot from the Lord and the icing on the cake, so to speak, from what had happened here for the beginning, the end of 2018, beginning of 2019. It was so sweet. And I thought, okay, well, I'll be honoring to the guy behind me, so I'll come back around and I'll come back in the parking lot and I'll even drive up a little bit on the grass and maybe I'll see them. I couldn't go very far. It was kind of wet, so that was it. I really believe the Lord was saying, this is a time of rest in the spirit, of wisdom with great authority, but go. Rest does not mean you stop. You keep going. You keep going, keep moving, but you're resting in the Lord and trusting him.
So on Thursday, we had a worship service to go with our 100 hours of prayer, and Pastor Mary Pat shared that. And then we also rewatched the Patricia King video we had watched on New Year's Eve, where she's talking about 2019 will be a year of creating light in the darkness, being co-creators with the Lord in that. And then we, again, shared what the Lord had been speaking. So Ashley shared about expectation, right? That was her word, to expect from the Lord. I have breakthrough and acceleration. Breakthrough for 2019, acceleration for... breakthrough 2018, acceleration 2019, that was Tiana, right? And then Rachel White again shared about believing and receiving for the miraculous. Stephanie shared about caring and holding on to faith. Andy was talking that his word for 2019 was presence, the Lord's presence, and new realms, going into new realms for that. I shared transformation in people's lives. Jordan shared that having supernatural insight to find solutions and to bring awareness and authority and influence in the realms we're in. Jamie was sharing how the Lord's put on our heart a new desire for fasting, and believes that the Lord will give us a new zeal and grace for a lifestyle of fasting this year. And Andy or Ashley Miller was sharing that last year was a year of persevering, and this year is a year of strength and endurance. And that was.
As the Lord is expanding our tent pegs, taking us to new places, new nations, new adventures, the newness on us for 2019 starts with us individually, and that makes corporateness. That brings in the unity. So these words that we're speaking are not just spiritual words like, oh my gosh, I'm going to say transformation, because that's what we all know. I know what that means, or intimacy, or anything like that. So these were ideas from the Spirit of God that connected with our spirit that came out to encourage one another. So this prophetic release on Thursday and also on New Year's Eve was very strong, and with a lot of worship, declaration, and connection continuing on. We had a time when people were singing out what the Lord was just putting on their hearts. Some had songs that, this is on New Year's Eve, some had songs that are known songs, and others had a few words and songs that just came up that they were just feeling and hearing and thinking from the Lord. It was so beautiful. It was an interactive time with the Lord that I believe is so pleasing to the Lord. There were several generations here. This was not just one grouping of people. This was the whole family, and it was beautiful. So it's for us, and maybe what we'll do is try to get these typed up and emailed them out. So loses a little bit because you weren't there at the moment. We didn't have everything that people said. So Rachel developed her thoughts and ideas that the Lord was giving her behind transformation. So she didn't just stand up and said transformation and then goes and sits down. So, but the idea is that if something grabs you, then just take it for yourself. And maybe what we'll be able to do while we're in Brazil, maybe somebody else can do this, that those who had those words, maybe Carly or Jamie in the office can reach out and talk to some of the people who could define, let's say, transformation, or if you have a one word there that you could also offer, so that we'd have a sentence or two, and that way you'd have them for 2019. Praise the Lord. So we're in the middle of mission training weekend, going to Brazil and Asia, and it's been really phenomenal. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning, and Sunday afternoon, we'll bring the conclusion. So it's just been great, and thank you so much for everybody who's been contributing and speaking and organizing and staying here, even when it's not the warmest. Thank you for that. It's been wonderful. It just really, really blessed me, the times I was able to be here, which was most of the time. But I just really blessed me to be able to see the growth, the spiritual growth in people who are going overseas and those who are helping. And I just feel that the Lord is doing something new. You think, well, we always know that. That's his nature. But there is something different, something new that was substantiated, I believe, by the way people stepped into what they were asked to do or what they felt that they could contribute. So it was really powerful. So we had some amazing words and releases and teachings that just kind of rocked people's worlds. Like, well, what do we do now? Let's just go home. Well, it was amazing. So that just kept going the whole weekend. So the Lord was moving, is moving, and I'm declaring and decreeing that there's going to be such an increase in the area of missions for us to be able to understand a connection between worship and missions and how it really is one. But that's going to begin here in 2019 in January. And Pastor Bill and I are leaving on Thursday. And I honestly thought it was Friday because I've had a lot going on in the last couple of weeks in my personal life. And so I was thinking, okay, Friday night, we'll get there. And then I heard yesterday it was Thursday. So I'm leaving Thursday. It's like, oh, okay, I have another day less. So we're going to ask if you guys could pray for us, so that our whole body is here before everybody goes to their classes. And so Pastor Bill and I are leaving on Thursday, and the team, Troy and the team are leaving on what day? I don't even... Oh, really? Oh, my gosh. Okay, 2 weeks from Tuesday, and we'll be there for a long time. So we're going to be going to the City of God in Heliopolis, favelas, slums, and work there. We have a new training center, a new worship center building to add to the two that we already have. And we've shown that, I think, already here, haven't we, before today. Didn't we show it last week? Did we show it in the video? Okay. We could show Joe's video. That's so short. Why don't we do that from last night? We're not going to show the overall, here's what Brazil is. Okay, we're not going to do that right now. We've done it many times, so just for time's sake. But we are going to show you what we purchased here, which you do know about, but we're going to show it too. It's a little building that adds to the other two, so that'll be three, and then we're going to go up, Lord willing. So we're going to have many uses for that, including Bendisau, the pajama business for the favelas to go all through Brazil and even to the other nations, to help people be able to step into a way of taking care of themselves, microenterprise, and other areas as well. We're asking God to define even more. It's wonderful what the worship center is looking like. Andy, I don't know if you can show just the last couple of, the last minute of that overall Brazil video that has what we're doing there. So Pastor Bill and I are going to be part of that for a while, but we're also involved outside of that. And we go into other places, we go into other churches, and go into other locations. So we're asking, they're set up for us already. I don't even know what they are, actually. But it's all set up, ready to go. But we also participate with what's going on in the favela. So we'll show you what we've got here. So we're very excited about it. This is our new building, part of it. And it says house for sale. So complete with bike, there's our new building, so we can go ahead and play that.
So this is our new building. Like here, from here to there. It's our new building.
And this is in the slums.
I'm going around to show you. It's a little bit hard because it's raining. And this is the side of our building. Okay. And the back. And it goes to
here. That's all ours.
Yeah. This is the final. So yeah.
Right next to the bag
all
of garbage.
These.
It's huge.
It's our building.
Is that amazing? Where worship and praise and soaking and impartation is happening right in the middle of one of the darkest places in Brazil. Look at that. That's ours.
So we can see there to here. This is our building.
Praise the Lord. Is that great? And we had that vision for that third building and then eventually to acquire the rest that are down that little alley on both sides. Pastor Jurceo is on the right side. We're all together. And we're, what, 8 steps across in that little walk area on the left. And so we have all kinds of crazy ideas. And the boys that are there, who are there in the worship center, they're designing, you know, the next wall to come down and the next roof to come up and the side steps, where are they going to be? And they're real excited about it because no one's ever done this anywhere that we're aware of in Brazil. It's the first time. So we're very excited about that. And this is a model for whatever God wants to do in worship right there in the middle of these kinds of places. So very, very happy about it. So thank you for sowing into that, those of you who've had an opportunity. And if you've not had an opportunity, there's a lot of work to do. We have to put roofs on and keep building and take the wall down between the second and the third place and build steps and refurbish everything. So we invite you to sow into that. Just put Brazil on it. If you feel led in your heart today, that would be great. And so Andy's going to show just the last little bit of what's going on in the worship center, part of it. And we don't know if God's going to add a Saturday night worship with, you know, people who are out partying and doing whatever, and then they're contending with worship right going on at the same time. I mean, there are a lot of divisions and thoughts for what we're going to do. This building is not going to be sitting there going, woo, to-do. Pastor Jurceo is using it when we're not in some other areas, but there are also other things that we can do. And it's a place of darkness. And we've invaded bringing the light. And it's so amazing. And so these little kids especially are seeing and learning something new. They're introduced to Jesus. But their families are coming around and their boyfriends and their girlfriends and their aunts and uncles, like, what's happening and why would someone show interest here? So we buy them the instruments and, you know, different things, and I'd like to see that expand as well. So Pastor Bill is the expert on that, not me. I just have the desire, and he runs with what we need. So if you guys, and he has the desire too, if you guys want to sow into that, all this money will be used in a powerful way for the worship of the Lord. And there are so many prophetic words for outbreak and revival to just burst out in the poorest places. This is one of the darkest places on the face of the earth. Don't be fooled by, oh, there's music going on. It's very dark when you walk in. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we have the last part.
Pioneer, pioneer, keep pressing on the words beyond your fears and on.
Amanda.
You're a pioneer.
She loves her cello. This Pastor Juseo right there, Ignatius, crossed the S. Wall is going to have a map of the world with a great big wave. Map of the world. Anyway, they send their love. They're calling all the time. When are you coming? So if somebody wants to kind of lead this, Bill and I are leaving, so we just would love to have your prayer. Really ask you to increase, spend time praying for this, praying for all of us, because the Lord is calling us to do that. So many things that are happening. We need your prayer cover and your agreement. And not just once we get there, but even starting now, okay? That'd be great. And afterwards, and just keep it going.
Amen. So anyone who feels led to come up and pray over them, if you guys want to, Pastor Bill, you want to join. And then there are some papers in the foyer if you do want to help finish purchasing that building that we just showed you. And beyond the purchase need is the remodeling and putting on the new roof and taking out the walls so we can join the buildings together. So if that's in your heart, or if you already made a pledge, please turn that in by Tuesday. So if you already pledged to give to that, because they're going to take it on Thursday. So thanks for that, everyone. All right. Bless the Lord, O our soul. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Father, we just thank you for our beloved pastors, Pastor Bill, and Pastor Murray Pat, Lord. We just thank you for our spiritual parents here in this house. Lord, I thank you that they're not just spiritual parents here, but to the nations, Father. You've called them. You've set them apart, Father. So I just thank you as they go forth, they go with your anointing, they go with your spirit, they go with your power. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Thank you for transformation wherever they go. Thank you for revival wherever they go, Father. Thank you, Lord, for just an increased release of your heart, the Father's heart, into Brazil, Father God, as you call the hearts of the children to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers to the children, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for restoration of families in Brazil that's being released through this mighty couple, this powerful couple who loves you. Thank you, Father. Father, we just thank you for protection over their physical bodies. We thank you for increased strength in every area of their physical bodies in Jesus' name. There be no calamity, no accident in Jesus' name. We just thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you go before them and you guide them and lead them. Thank you for the divine appointments that you're setting up right now. Connections for salvation, connections for healing, connections for your kingdom spreading throughout Brazil and beyond Brazil to the nations. So we just release that over them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. If anyone has a specific picture. Or...
Oh, Lord, I just thank you for the word pioneer that was released from Pastor Bill, Father. And as that song was playing, Lord God, on the video, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that as we look, Lord God, as we see the progress they're doing on the worship center, Father, and the way the building's going and the new building being bought, God, and all the wonderful things that you're doing, God, I thank you that it's only the beginning, Lord God, that you are blazing a trail for some mighty things that are going to happen in Brazil, Father. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're using us, Father, us frontline, Father God. Lord, thank you for the word that you gave us years ago for being the first and the best, Lord God. And I thank you, Father, that this is only the beginning. Lord, the video that we looked at today is only the beginning of the things that you're doing through us, through you, through us there, Father. So we just thank you, God, Lord, for these, for Pastor Mary Pat and Pastor Bill, God, that they are pioneers of something new, of something grand, of something fantastic that you're releasing into the streets of Brazil, Father. We just thank you, Lord God, that it's not going to just stay in the city of God, not just going to stay in Heliopolis, Father, but there's something even bigger, even grander that you're going to be doing, Father God. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name.
I just heard the word protection. So, Lord, I just thank you for this trip. We thank you that you're just protecting them each step of the way, God, in their physical bodies, in their minds, in their spirits, their heart, God, that you're walking with this team, with Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat. And we just thank you, God, that you are here, you are present. And, God, we just come against any weirdnesses or plans of the enemy that would try to hinder everything that you're doing, God, in Brazil, that everything, all the hearts, all the kids, and every person that you want to touch, God. We just thank you that the enemy's plan is stopped right now in the name of Jesus. He's a snake and we just don't agree with him. And we thank you, Father, that you have the authority, that your hand of protection are on Pastor Bill and Mary Pat and this team. And we thank you, God, for your power and your strength and your might in Jesus' name.
Father, I thank you, Lord, for new visions and dreams. I just see, like, when you're in Brazil, as you lay your head down on your pillow, that just these open visions, just new, fresh visions for Brazil. And I also just feel led to pray for favor with the government. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are able to take Mama and Papa, Lord, to the government, that there would be favor with the Brazilian government. God, that the high places would begin to ask for wisdom and guidance from Papa Bill and Mama Mary Pat. God, we thank you. And Father, I thank you for new territory. Father, I thank you, God, that even though they just bought and expanded buildings, God, there is more to be taken. There's more territory to be taken. So we call it forth. God, we even prophesy, Lord, connections being made when we're there, God, that people would begin to say, hey, would you like to come over to this area? We have a building over here. Lord, just those divine connections, God, you just want to spread your glory all over this nation, God. Thank you, Daddy. Even new cities to go to, new cities in the nation of South America. Father, we thank you, Lord. We bless you for what you're about to do. Increase the faith. Increase faith. Increase favor and faith in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, I thank you. I thank you that this is just the beginning. Thank you, Lord, that this this increase of property in City of God is just the beginning. The work we've been doing for the last several years in Brazil, this is just the beginning. And I thank you, Lord, for just for our pastors and our spiritual mother and father, and we just bless them in the name of Jesus. We bless them for their sacrifice, that they pour out their lives as a sacrifice of worship to you. And the way they love us, Lord God, the way they sacrifice for us, we don't even know We don't even know. So I pray, Lord, that in this season, as they're away out on the mission field, that we as their family, that we would rise up and back them up in every way that you're calling us to, out of just a heart of gratitude for their lives and the way they've chosen to pour their lives out as a sacrifice of worship to you, God. And I just thank you that it's sweet smelling to you, Lord God. And I just thank you, that, Lord, that it just fills up the bowls in heaven with sweet smelling worship, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that even here, that the seeds are being sown in Brazil, that it bears fruit back here in America, and that it's just the beginning. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. And I just see, like, in the spirit, I see like a family tree. And even there's this whole spiritual family gathered around you right now. And yet this is just the beginning. This is the beginning of the family tree. And we're going to look down the road 10, 20, 30, 40 years down the road and how family trees, they just multiply, 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 multiply in the nations. Even the countries we're in right now, this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning for your glory, Jesus. For your glory, Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord, even for blessing their families, Lord God, here. I just thank you for breakthrough in the name of Jesus. The time is now. The time is now. The time is now. No more delay. No more delay. No more delay. A promise given is a promise kept. A promise given is a promise kept. And I thank you, Lord, for every prophetic declaration and promise that was released at Relentless Pursuit in October. We just stand on those right now in the name of Jesus. We stand on them. We say a promise given is a promise kept for the ministry, for our families, for everything that we're standing on, for everything that the pastors have stood on in faith and have believed for with no doubt. I thank you, Lord, that we shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The time is now. No more delay. No more delay. We rebuke delay in the name of Jesus. We rebuke you. Who are you? Who are you, O great mountain? Before frontline, before the pastures, you shall become a level plain, and we shall shout. We shall shout to it, grace, grace, grace.
As I was actually praying this morning in revival prayer, the Lord just gave me a picture, and I've been just asking him to unpack that some. And I just saw, as Lawrence was preaching, just rain coming down in the sanctuary like a sheet, but like just crossing over everybody. And the word was cleansing people. But when I looked up, it was actually a car wash, and it was like the type of thing that comes by where you see a rod and there's this cleansing wash coming over. I was like, Lord, a car wash? That's kind of weird. And he's like, you know, that these people getting ready to go, their vehicles, they're getting ready to go, and I'm cleansing them right now. And I was like, well, Lord, what type of car? You know, and he's like, well, that really depends on them. And but then I was asking about frontline and about some things personally. I just saw this car, and the Lord's just bringing it back to mind, and it was just so funny. I was like, well, Lord, like, what type of car are we right now, or what are you showing me? And I just saw this clown's car where all the clowns are coming out, and you're going, how in the world are they fitting in there? Like, how can you have that capacity? How is one more thing able to fit? Like, and it was just so laughable, and the Lord is just bringing that back to mind. I just really feel like that's frontline, and that's for our pastors right now, and there's, like, as they're adding to the worship centers, like, how is one more thing going to fit? How is it even possible? And it's like that one more thing can't fit, and all of a sudden you see three come out, and you're like, whoa, you know, and how can one go in? It's like going to be three. I was just like, you know, I just really get the impression the Lord's like, well, you think you're expanding the worship center, but, like, there's so much more coming that you don't even expect, and it's just going to be accomplished in joy. And that he's just increasing capacity right now. So, Lord, I just speak capacity. Father, increase capacity right now over Pastor Mary Pat and Pastor Bill and over the ministry. Just thank you, Father, for increase, Father, for fullness of joy, Father, for strength, for provision, and just that they'll just laugh. They'll just laugh. They'll laugh at the enemy. They'll laugh at all that you're going to do. They'll just laugh at the increase. They'll laugh at the acceleration, Father. We just laugh. We just laugh. Thank you, Holy One. We just laugh.
Kind of goes with the picture that I got as we've been up here. I just saw a washing machine and a dryer. and And also the verse Isaiah 43:2 goes with that. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have surrounded Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat through everything that they've walked through, every water that they've passed through, Father, every fire that they've walked through. Lord, I thank you that you are the Lord, your their God, our God, that you have surrounded them, Father, that you uphold them, Lord, that you take them through, Father, every situation, every circumstance, Father, every deep water, Father, every fiery trial, Father, that you carry them through, Father, and you take them out the other side, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that it accomplishes such amazing things in the Spirit, Father. And I just thank you for that. I thank you that you surround them. And Father, we just come together, Father, and we surround them in the Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that as they travel, Father, that they are not alone, Father, but they are surrounded in the Spirit, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your covering over them, Lord, in every way, Father. You're covering spiritually, physically, and emotionally, Father, in every way. Thank you, Lord.
I heard the phrase wells of revival. So, Father, I thank you for the wells of revival that are springing forth, God. Lord, I ask, God, that everything that's been planted, Father, thus far, God, would come to fruition on this trip, God. I thank you, Lord, the deep things, Father, deep cries out to deep. Father, those deep things that Pastor Josiah and the pastors, Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat, have experienced and felt, that those things, Father, for Brazil would be birthed in this season. In Jesus' name.
Just reminded of the end of Psalm 23 about how he prepares a table for you in the midst of the enemy. And just the picture I saw was just this buffet and you guys going in, and there was such, you guys had such freedom and liberty to go and take off of that table anything that you needed to release in the places that you go. And I see you just bringing other sons and daughters, and I just see other pastors and leaders, and you're bringing in them into the freedom that you've experienced. That it's the prices that you've paid in the deep dark places that you're gonna able to bring other leaders into the place of feasting from the Lord's buffet, feasting from the Lord's presence, and being able to then empower those people. Sort of just thank you, Lord, for fresh anointing, Lord, for leaders, Father, in Jesus' name. Divine appointments, Father, I call out, Father, divine appointments, whether it's on an airplane, Lord, whether it's, Lord, at a church service, and you just highlight somebody to them, Lord, even as Lord, you highlighted them to Mel Tari, Father, I thank you in the same way you're going to reciprocate that, Lord. There's no accident that took place in Brazil, and so, Father, we speak that to multiply out, Father, into other places in Brazil, divine appointments. And this just came to me, but I just sense, Lord, there's going to be openings for more rural places in Brazil, Father, in Jesus' name, not only in the big cities, but Lord, out in the country, out in the Amazon, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for that pioneering, exploring spirit, in Jesus' name. No piranhas, in Jesus' name.
I just saw a picture of like a stone that was thrown in a deep body of water, and then as the little ripples started, like they started to like spiral out from there, like deeper and deeper and wider ripples. And I just felt like the Lord was saying that what he started as a small ripple is just extending, and it's expanding into these huge, giant ripples that are just rippling through the entire nation of Brazil and into the continent of South America, and that it's connected to what he's doing around the world in here and in China and in Mozambique. And just as this stuff is connected, I just kept hearing that word connectedness, that he's wanting to build and to continue to move and just to continue to ripple through the nations and to really release his spirit out on in this time, in these days, just as that ripple just continues to increase.
I just hear the Lord saying is that there will be miracles, and the miracles will be those of broken and contrite hearts. that where the enemy thinks he has set a foundation, that that there's a fault line underneath that will crack and that will come up and break the ground, and the ground that is there, that is being prepared right now, will break and crumble beneath the enemy, and let the word of the Lord go in and sink in deep like water. And that the broken and contrite hearts of the drug dealers and the drug addicts and the fathers who have left families and the mothers who have left families, that the broken and contrite hearts of them, there will be the miracle there. That the miracles will show, and it will be like as that fault line, like the fault lines are, that they go so much further than we know, that the Lord will continue with that fault line to break and crumble the foundation that the enemy believes he has set, and it will crumble. So I thank you, God, for the miracle of the broken and contrite hearts that will lay down the lives that they have lived, the lives that they have set in their families and generations, God, that they will crumble, and people will come to you, Father. And that even after these teams are in and planted where they are, and after our team comes and goes and comes and goes, there will be no break in the continuation of that fault line going, and the broken and contrite hearts continuing, that neighbor will share with neighbor, will share with neighbor, will share with neighbor. So I thank you, Father, for the miracle of the broken and contrite hearts that will come to you, God, the miracle of saved souls, in Jesus' name.
You don't know me, but Jesus does. So I saw, I smelled the fragrance of Christ go before you. And he's going to release his fragrance in that place. And he's going to bring, you know, the fragrance of Christ is sweet to those being saved. And he's going to do that. He's going to release that in that place. It's going to be like a bloom. It's going to happen, and it's going to go through the streets, and it's going to bring people in. Some people aren't going to smell roses. Some people are going to smell fire, but that's your job too, to snatch people out of the fire. So I just bless you guys in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that your fragrance, your aroma, Jesus, go before them, Father, and fill that place and saturate that area, Father. Their goodness. Amen.
When we first started praying, I just saw like this monument, this pole that was from Brazil being built up towards the sky, but it wasn't towards the Lord, it was towards the flesh and towards the enemy. But it was tilted and it was coming down from the foundation. And it just reminded me of the, and I don't know if this is how you pronounce it, but in the Old Testament, the Asherah poles, that one king would come through and allow these poles, these monuments to the flesh and to the enemy to be built up around his land. And then the next king would come in and he would say, and he would be a king of the Lord, and he would come and he would tear those poles down, and he would re-sacrifice, he would re-sanctify that land for the Lord. And I just feel like the Lord is sending you, Pastor Bill, and you, Pastor Mary Pat, into Brazil as generals in the Lord's army, as you're going through, and this is the time to tear down the Asherah poles that have been built up to the flesh and that have been built up to Satan, that they've been in there too long, and we've been chipping at them. That frontline and others have been chipping at these poles to come down, but they haven't come down yet. They just keep being rebuilt. It's just the cycle of we chip at them, and we start to break them down, and then the world builds them back up again. But this time I saw it coming up from the foundation. So I thank you, Father, that these poles are going to come down. Father, these monuments to the enemy and these monuments to self are going to come down, Father. That Judah spoke out. I was listening this morning. Judah spoke out a word for 2019. I think it was Judah of purity. And that's not just a word for us here in America, Father, but it's also that Frontline's going to go into Brazil with an explosion of purity for Brazil. That the ones who already know the Lord need a new, fresh rain of purity in their life, Father. That if they have monuments to their self, that those are also going to get torn down. So, Father, I just ask, Lord, that you would bless Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat, Father. Give them the words, give them the opportunities, give them the open doors and the grace, Father, and the words, Lord. Give them the discernment, Lord, that they need to see those poles in the people that they encounter. that they would see the foundation, they would see the root, and they would be able to help those people unroot those things, to crash those Asherah poles to the ground, Father, because now's not the time for the world, and now's not the time for the enemy, but it's the time for you, Father.
I actually, 2 seconds before Haley spoke purity, I heard the same word, purity. And just thank you, Lord God, that that's going to be a key to unlock revival in Brazil and Sao Paulo and Heliopolis and City of God and all the surrounding communities. Just your purity, your holiness, just invading every place, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for the strong prophetic anointing on Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat, that it will continue to increase. Also the seer anointing, God, that their eyes are going to be open. And just I thank you, Lord, that they're going to be seeing specific visions and strategies in heaven, Lord, that you want to release in Brazil and in the communities. We thank you, Lord God, for the impact that you are having, even right now as we're interceding. Even right now, there's already things in motion. So we just thank you, God, that that's going to increase even more in this season, that our prayers are powerful. Lord, you hear our prayers. It's not just going somewhere, but Lord, we believe it. Lord, you say in your word and that if we ask anything in your name, you will do it. You will do it. That's a promise. That is what we stand on. Thank you, Lord, that your word does not return void, but it accomplishes all that you please, all that you sent it to do. Thank you, Lord, that each of these words will be fulfilled. We will see it come to pass in Jesus' name.
And Lord, we just continue to surround Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pratt with our support and our prayers as their armor bearers. Every one of us here is an armor bearer to these leaders, spiritual leaders in our life. And we just hold up their arms in the spirit. We hold up their arms. Father, every which way that you lead their feet with Inez, with Pastor Derseo, that there is just unity, just wonderful, beautiful unity that flows with every pastor that they connect with, every place, every church that they go to preach. Lord, that the word of heaven would come swiftly, God, and that these places, Lord, would be filled with your presence, God, and that there would be a new fire that would come. Lord, we just thank you for continued protection around them, Lord. We just thank you that there shall be no calamities, no accidents, nothing, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood that protects them. We just draw a bloodline around the Gokies. We draw a bloodline around their families, Lord, their extended family members. In Jesus' name, our spiritual family here, we thank you for your protection. We thank you for just a covering over each person, Lord, and just that you would bring continued strength and healing to Pastor Mary Pat's leg, Father. Thank you for the anointing on their lives. Thank you for the calling. Thank you for the giftings you've placed on the inside of them, Lord, that not one of them would be hindered, Lord, but they would be flowing in greater ways on this trip, God. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you just cover Inez. Cover Pastor Derseo, God. Cover them with your protection, Lord. We thank you, God, and we commit ourselves to fasting and prayer, fasting and praying for this, for what you're doing, Lord. Lord, it takes support underneath what you're doing, God. This whole building that we got to see with our own eyes, God, we want to commit ourselves to praying and to seeing your promises fulfilled, your dreams fulfilled in this very place, God, where there's so much darkness. There's light invading the darkness. There's light invading the darkness. And I thank you that your word says to arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is upon you. And I thank you, Jesus, for the mandate on frontline, God, to preach the gospel, to set free to the oppressed and the bring liberty to the captives, Father. I thank you, Jesus, for Luke 4:18-19, that there is an upgrade this year in the miraculous and the supernatural, God. In Jesus' name. Thank you for Joe Kabeji. Thank you for Amanda and all the others that are going to be surrounding this team that's going before the other team. God, that there is just amazing unity flowing and eyes to see and awareness, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, that gratefulness is the mark of this year. Gratefulness and gratitude, God, that propels us forward with compassion and love. Gratitude, Lord. We just bless, we bless, we bless, we bless, Lord. In Jesus' name.
I saw paper money falling from the sky, raining, and building up on the ground below you. So as God increases your vision, he's also going to increase the provision. And I saw some of that money coming out of dark clouds. And he said, this is the wealth of the wicked, the wealth of the drug dealers, coming down out of their cloud, coming from them, being translated into the kingdom of light, into your kingdom. So, Father, we thank you. We call that in, and we thank you for that provision even now, that you are the God of more than enough and that you can provide over and above what is required to do what you have called us to do. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and glory.
I was just reminded of Patricia's King reminded of Patricia King's word about birthing and 2019 being a year for birthing. And I was asking Troy how many trips Frontline has gone on, and he said there have been larger teams, smaller teams. As far as the larger team trips, he thinks it's number 9, but then 14 total if other individuals, small groups that have gone. So, Lord, I just thank you that you are birthing a new thing in Brazil. God, specifically through PB and P&P as our mama and papa in this house, God, that you are birthing a new thing in Brazil, in the City of God, in Heliopolis, with the worship center there, with all that you're doing, God, and in our connections with Inez and Pastor Jerseo and all of our other contacts there whom we love. I just thank you, God, that this family is coming together to see something new birthed in Brazil. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Gonna have a baby, Sarah.
Gonna have a baby. Just one last thing I want to close with is I just felt like the Lord was releasing new keys of authority just in Brazil, and as you're ministering in 2019, that there's just going to be new keys of authority, keys of the kingdom. And so, Lord, we just thank you for that. Just thank you for that increase. Amen.
And as I was preparing for the House of Prayer, what we're going to do as far as prayer covering, we often for trips print out a calendar and have people pick specific dates, but I felt that the Lord was saying to do something different this time. We really want to make sure there's increased prayer covering, as P&P said, starting even today. So I'm going to send around this list. It just says Brazil Prayer Team. And please contact me via email or phone number. So what I'm feeling is that every day I'd like to send something out to those of you that want to be part of this prayer team. I'll send it out, like I said, if you either put your email address or your phone number down, that's how I'll send it to you. It might be a Bible verse to pray over the team. It might be a word. If as you're praying you get anything from the Lord, or you wake up in the morning and something's really on your heart specifically for the Brazil team, you can text that to me or email it to me if that's your preferred way. And then I will, you know, just seek the Lord on what to send out to the whole Brazil prayer team. But again, I'll just send this around, put your name and then email or phone number, whichever way you prefer to be contacted. But you will be receiving something from me daily. So thank you.
Thank you so much for praying for us and for all the love and support. It's for me personally, it's totally overwhelming. So I feel things deeply, and I cry a lot, truly. Tears of joy, tears of sorrow and joy, but ultimately tears of joy. And I'm very grateful for you, so thank you. God bless you. We're on this together, right? So new adventure for 2019. So God bless you guys. Love you very much. So children can now go to their classes.
Father, we thank you, Lord. We're blessed by how much you love us. We don't deserve it, but you give it to us in abundance. I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it abundantly. Lord, you never want to give us life that's less than. I pray, God, that we would take simple things, apply them to our hearts, and let you do amazing miracles in us, not just in Brazil, but in us. Lord God, we thank you, Lord. You're that great, you're that mighty to do that. Wow. Microphones delivered. I thought my voice was big enough. Okay, that was fun. That's it.
Are you the one that prayed out?
That was beautiful.
Thank you. Sorry, was that him? I had my eyes closed. That was you.
Fragrance.
Thank you.
We'll remember it while we're there. There's some fragrances. We want the ones you're talking about. Yes, Jesus. Woo! So some of you were here this morning because you were part of Mission Training Weekend, and that's probably why this will be a little bit extended. So if you need to leave, the people that are on the team cannot leave. They're stuck because it's part of their training weekend. But I understand that Lawrence shared this morning. Who can give me a little bit of a summary of what he shared on? What impacted you? He's ready to hear. He's ready to hear.
Come on, guys, what'd I say?
What did Lawrence share to the mission team?
Oh.
Yeah.
We were in Matthew talking about the parable of the hidden treasure and just talking about how if you found a pearl, whatever like value you gave to it, that's how much sacrifice you would put into purchasing it. And so, just wanting to really find the like these promises that the Lord has spoken over to us, but if we don't value these, we're not going to put in as much sacrifice to really attain the promises and what he has for us. And so, yeah.
She can go now? One team member's made it. All right. Maybe some others. Okay, well, if you fix your eyes on Jesus, he will allow you to see through his eyes. You'll see the world a whole lot different if you're fixing your eyes on Jesus. Now, if that wavers, your vision becomes clouded. It's not like looking through the eyes of Jesus, is it? So that doesn't have anything to do with what I'm sharing today, but it's very important. If you fix your eyes in Jesus, he will allow you to see through his eyes. When we go to Brazil, if we're just looking naturally, we'd say, what are we doing here? This place is overrun with evil, darkness, the drug line, the prostitutes. How in the world can anything happen here? But if we fix our eyes in Jesus, he gives us a different vision of the place. He came into a very dark world, a very dark religious world as well. And when that light came in, the darkness started to disperse, and it has until this time. Evil is losing, actually. It's losing. The Lord is winning. Because he's ahead of us. That's the thing. He's ahead of us. So we'll talk a little bit about that today. When Jesus taught you know that he used a lot of objects, parables, illustrations, stories. Today it's an object lesson. Could you tell? I got my objects up here. He used things like the vine, the branches, the light of the world, the darkness, the door, the sheep gate, the shepherd, the sheep, living water, bread of life, goats, blind seeing, rock, consuming fire, Lion of Judah, on and on and on. Even some of his names are objects or creatures. Lion of Judah. That's supposed to speak something to us from him taking the name Lion of Judah and revealing it to us. We didn't give him that name. He revealed that name to us. And if he reveals a name that has something in it that we can identify with, it helps us, doesn't it? Lion of Judah. We picture, poof, just that quickly, a lion. Where if he had to describe an animal and we were supposed to guess what it was, we would probably lose interest. But as soon as we hear Lion of Judah, people have pictures of Lion of Judah coming down the center of this place. People see the Lion of Judah up in this painting up here. This was a painting done by someone in Frontline. And over the years, people have seen pictures of lions up there and other things in that prophetic painting. And look where everyone's looking. I love it. That's good. It's a good thing. So Jesus wants us to focus on things like that because we can identify with it right away. We understand vine, branches. Branches are going to die without the vine giving life to the branches. We get that. So that's kind of the way it is this morning. I want to give you some spiritual tools to put in your tool belt, but I want you to get the whole picture out of objects, out of things that you can identify with, things you may have used before or wanted to use and never had a chance. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, you'll need a Bible today, I think, to help me, because sometimes I want you to read the scriptures to the rest of the people here. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. Or if you know where they are, come and get one. But if you need a Bible, you can raise your hand and I guarantee one will be delivered to you, just like the microphone was delivered to me. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, NIV says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We're supposed to be laying aside weights, not covering them up, not carrying them along and keeping them under our coat so no one can see these weights that we're dragging along with us. What is killing the body of Christ right now are the secrets, the hidden things. You come to a weekend like this, whether you're here the whole weekend or you're just catching this part of it, there's a certain atmosphere here of, I'm going to get you pure. The Lord's, by my love, I want to get you pure. I want to help you become pure because that's how I can use you in power in Brazil. He does it with all of us. No one's exempt. Leaders to the newest recruits. Everybody goes through it if they want to. Or they can ignore it and they'll pay the spiritual consequences of having less of the Lord being able to be working through them. Oh, I'm just going to hide this little thing. No one will know, and I'll be okay. I'll go on the mission, or I'll try to minister to my family. It'll be all right. Actually, we're hindering what God wants to do in us, so it's going to hinder what he can do through us. The secrets need to go in 2019. pioneers can't have a whole bunch of secrets. Because when they get out there in the wilderness and they're trying to forge a new road, they better know one another. And they better know what can help each other. And they better have left anything behind that's going to keep them from climbing that new mountain or going over that new stream. They better leave all those weights behind. Pioneers can't be weighted down with a bunch of extra stuff, especially if it's debilitating stuff, fear, sin, things in our lives that we can hide from other people, but we can't hide from God. He knows. I don't know if you know, but he knows. If he can create you in your mother's womb, he can watch your life the rest of the time. If he saw you in mom, he can see you now. Okay? If he was in there with mom, creating you, he can see you now. And there's some things that need to go before a holy God in each of us. In each of us. So my word for this group of people and the body of Christ is pioneers. Many of you are in your families. You were the first radical believer in your family. Maybe not the first believer, but you were the first radical one, the first one that believed that Jesus heals today. And if you don't believe that, please see me afterwards. I would love to tell you the latest healings in Frontline, the latest healings in the body of Christ. Jesus can't wait to heal. That's why he takes the name Jehovah Rapha and reveals it to us. Because he wants us to know. That's what I do. That's who I am. I can't do anything but that. I must heal. I must heal. When he doesn't heal, there's question marks in my mind. What happened here on earth that didn't allow him to heal? Remember when he went through his hometown and he couldn't do many miracles? Why? Unbelief. So there are things here on earth that prevent us from getting everything that God intends for us to have and then bless others with it. This is not a house that wants to have all the blessings inside this house. We want to take them to these places. These are real pictures, real places that we've been. We want to bless their lives with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Powerfully, as he works through us, we know we can't do it. We're weak. He's strong. We're children. He's our dad. We're subjects. He's the king. And when we get that straight and lined up, he can work through us. He wants to purify pioneers. He wants to give pioneers patience so they can endure and persevere. Through a resistance, even among the ones that are joining the pioneers. There is resistance in this group from time to time for what God wants to do. There is. We know that. We press through it. Jesus pressed through it. And he wants to heal it in people. We're not mad. It's just a fact. Jesus had resistance on his team. He had the sons of thunder. They each wanted to get their own glory. Who could get the greatest glory? Who could get, you know, look at me, look at me. Look what I'm doing. I want to be closer to Jesus. Look what I'm doing. And he had Judas, who just outright, you know, sold him out, and then committed suicide. Jesus had a person that committed suicide on his team. That's resistance to the plan of God. I don't know if you know. And Jesus pressed through that to his mission, to the cross, because no one can stop him. And he had Peter, one of the inner three, one of the closest ones to him, one of the ones that spoke up to him so boldly at times, denies him three times when he needs him the most. Jesus pressed through that, though. So it would be a good idea for any of you that feel that the Lord is convicting you of resisting the Holy Spirit in what is happening in frontline in your own life. Clean that up this year. Let him clean that up. Let him take that little grandson's word, purity, and magnify it in your life. Don't just say, oh, that's kind of cute. That little boy got that word pure. Isn't that cute? He speaks out of the mouths of babes, and we better listen. We better listen. Jesus came as a babe. It wasn't long before he started speaking things out that the family knew, the brothers knew, sisters knew. This guy is different. And James, his brother, ends up worshiping him. Worshiping him. Now, I don't know about you. I don't have a brother or sister that I think I should worship when I was growing up. Now, even. I mean, my sister's passed on, but I can't consider even worshiping my brother for some reason. Maybe you have the same feeling about your siblings. But James was totally convinced Jesus was divine. And if he was close enough to him to see he was divine, why aren't we so impressed by Jesus? We can take his testimony and say yes and amen. He lived with him, ate meals with him. Can you see James saying, chicken again? I don't want chicken tonight. And Jesus says, oh, Father, we thank you for your provision. We are so blessed that you have favored this house with chicken tonight. How would you like to have a brother like that? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, we're going to lose some of these weights that have weighted us down. Some of you are much more powerful than you're allowing God to make you. I'm more powerful than I'm allowing God to make me. And I'm trying to open up to him more and more and more and more. Because he definitely wants to turn us into radical warriors. We can go into his arms and hold him as sons and daughters. But he does also then want to send us out to touch others. And if our life hasn't really been an example of that, it's time to clean it up. Let the Lord clean it up. Let the Lord give you a whole new picture of what's going on. So, we have up here a microscope. How would you think prophetically a microscope would be used by God? I'll take your ideas first. Mine, oh, they're there, but you might have some better ones. Thank you for that, and I'll take a couple more. Only a couple more, though. Things you can't see with the naked eye. Okay, now we're going. Sorry?
Atoms and cells. When I met Andrew, I asked him how he saw the world, and he explained to me that when he looks at something, he sees all the individual particles in it. When he looks at a television, he envisions what's inside that's making it work. And that really baffled me because I had never met anyone that like actually saw the world like that. So I just, from that moment on, I really thought like, wow, what in the world is going on in there?
Okay. All right. There are a lot of people who see the world that way, Carl. They know how things work and inner workings and so on. Yes, you're going to be able to see things at a level and take apart things at a level that other people just kind of look at the whole thing. So it's an optical instrument that uses a lens or combinations of lenses to produce magnified images of small objects, especially objects too small to be seen by an unaided eye. That's a regular microscope. God wants to use the microscope to search us, doesn't he? He takes out the slides and he slides them into the microscope, turns on the light, and he looks at our life and he wants to help us with the things that don't work. The things that are disease to us. Lots of research facilities use a lot of these, right? They're looking for ways to cure diseases. They use probably a little more powerful one than this one from National Geographic. But they do use microscopes to see the disease, how it could be cured, what would work at that molecular level. That's what God wants to do in our life. Let's take a look at Psalm 139, 23, and 24. Familiar verses. Psalm 139. Every mother-to-be should read Psalm 139. Right, Beth? Right. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is the psalmist presenting himself as a slide to God. Go ahead, put me on your microscope. See what's hidden. The hidden things, the secret things. What's there that people can't see, but I know you see because you want to put me under your microscope if I'm a willing slide, and then you will show me what needs to change, what disease is in there that needs cured. Search me, O God, and know my heart. My heart sometimes wavers, Lord. Help me with that. Know my heart. It's for you. I'm just weak. Cure that weakness in me. Try me and know my anxieties. Go ahead, God. I know you need to test me to get rid of fear. You volunteer for the tests. Brazil is a test. Test of all our characters, test of our courage, test of everything in our lives. Living here is a bigger test. Because we're around people that we know. We're with family. We're with friends, coworkers, schoolmates. And they know us a little bit. We go to Brazil, we can preach and empower every person there in many places. Not every place we go, but they don't know us. That's an advantage. Because they're unknown to us. We don't feel any apprehensions just letting loose with the gospel. Preaching overseas is easy compared to preaching here. Sharing the gospel with a family member, with a friend, coworker. You have the biggest mission. Oh, we receive every prayer, every prophetic word, every blessing that you gave to us, but we're really going to fun. I mean, it's going to be a blast. Because we're just so free to preach the gospel. The needs are just so overwhelming in people. They actually know they need Jesus. They really know it. Sometimes here, it's hard to even gather a group on the streets. When we have the booth at First Friday, it's been a joy to see people come up to that booth and want to hear what God says to them. If you're not familiar with that, check with Andy. When we have that booth when the weather's nice, or when we go to McDonald's when it's not, or Mugswigs, it's amazing that people actually come up to that booth and take a chair and let someone draw what they think God is saying to them. Come on. I've been involved with booths that nobody comes up. You get the booth ready. You got a plan. You got a strategy. We're going to love people. Hey, right here. Come on. Come to the booth. The booth. Hey, look, free things. Here. Free. You don't want it? That doesn't happen overseas. You just walk down the street. There's children that start to walk with you. And they bring their parents. And the parents wonder what you're doing there. What's going on? We need that hunger in America again. And it can come. And it will come when things start getting rough. The beginning of the last days are now. People's fears are increasing. That's how you know it's the beginning of the last days. Not necessarily the signs of the times, but just that the fear level has gone up. Every person I talk to, it seems like, what are they struggling with? Fear. What's the most debilitating thing that there is? Fear. What does God want to get out of our lives by inspecting us at our request? Fear. And the other things will follow. The other healings will follow if he can get rid of fear in us. So we see the unseen. If we look through the microscope, use it to look at people that volunteer themselves to us. I need help. I need help. Often they think it's something physical they need. I need, you know, can you pay some of my rent this month? Can you meet this need this month? But the wise one says, I've got stuff inside that's causing all these other needs. If they were involved in a body, many of those things would be taken care of. It's happened to a number of people that have come into frontline and they had nothing. And as they stayed in relationship, things started going up for them. And it has nothing to do with the individual people here. It has to do with God's plan. You're aligning with God's plan. You're supposed to be part of a family. You are supposed to be part of a family. You're not just supposed to be an orphan out there walking around going, God, I hope I'm close to you. Yeah, I think I am. People listen to me when I go into churches, you know, they seem to get it that I've got the language. You're not supposed to be an orphan. You're not supposed to be someone just running around to different places. You're supposed to find a home. Get dirty inside of a family. Come on. Work hard. Get some dirt on you. Get some hits. Love people that are hitting you. That's real family, right? That's our families. It happens in the body of Christ as well. And love them back when you're hit. That's the, you know, we think that if they hit one cheek, then offer the other cheek. We think that's the world. It's often in the church that that's actually happening. It's much harder in the church when someone says they're hitting you on your cheek because God told them to do that. That's much harder. And see if there is any wicked way in me. Lord, I offer myself to you. You see anything in me that doesn't line up with you? Oh, well, I don't go out drinking and I don't take cocaine. Don't do cocaine. Don't snort it. See. I don't run around with women that chew tobacco. See. Huh. I don't see any big stuff. There's a lot of other stuff. Gossip, offense, bitterness, unforgiveness. Those things can't be seen so easily by people. You know, if we catch you down at the local bar and you have, you know, cigarette and a beer can in one hand and you got whiskey, you know, in your satchel and you've got, you know, you're going, you know, on the table and we can kind of get an idea what's going on in your life. You've substituted something for God. But when it's offense and bitterness and critical attitude and negative feelings and gossip and stuff like that, you can come into the church and shake everybody's hand. Oh, hi, how are you? Yeah. Oh, I've been talking about you, but I'm not going to tell you. Yeah, we really roasted you after church last week. Woo! We had you on the roaster. Whoa! We found some things in your life that are missing some pieces. Those things aren't so easily seen, and we think we're above that. We don't really believe we do that. This is the year to check it. This is the year to let it be purified. This is the year in order to be a pioneer that you reach the level, I reach the level of purity that Jesus wants for us, and we will tear up the earth. Jesus had 11 that made it out of his 12, added Paul and a few others, and ripped up the entire world. They were shaking over this new movement. And their leader died early. Didn't even make it to 34 years old. And yet, the movement has taken over the earth. The enemy is losing because the movement is gaining. So how can I cooperate with God when he uses the microscope on me? I can use it on other people's lives carefully. I want to help them. Not to be nitpicking and, you know, talking about them and so on. I want to see what I can do to help them. But it's more important, obviously, that God uses it on my life. So if I meditate on his word, Joshua 1:8, can someone look that up and read it out when you get it? If I soak in his presence, Psalm 46:10. If I have an ongoing conversation with Holy Spirit, John 10:27, John 14:12 through 18. Someone have Joshua 1:8?
Oh. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success.
So does this mean that I meditate on it day and night? So I've got to carry around the Bible everywhere I go. I meditate on it day and night. That's the only way I can be successful. If I meditate on it day and night, by carrying around. Is that what it's talking about? Okay, so we have to know the Word of God enough that we can think about it when we don't have it in our hands. And when we do have it in our hands, we really take it slow. You know, if you're on a reading plan to start the new year here of the Word of God, if you fall behind because you're in it every day, but you just got slowed down because you were drinking it in. You were savoring each word like it was a luscious steak. Your life was changing. And you were becoming someone new in Jesus. I'm going to bless that. Forget the plan and go deep. Go deep. Go slow. Go deep. Drink it in, let it completely affect us, right? That's meditation. It's not the meditation, none of that. Okay? That's not what it's talking about. I didn't used to have to say that back 30 years ago, but now you have to. People are taking yoga classes and saying, oh, look at those moves, look at those moves. Do you know the spiritual significance behind some of that stuff? No. You know, we have to see that things are creeping in, spiritual things. And we need to be aware, spiritually aware of what it could do to affect us or others. So soaking in his presence. Psalm 46:10. Who has that one? Umi. Okay. I thought your name was Tiana, but Umi.
I mean, you call me Tiana, you call me Umi.
Umi? You call me Umi.
Could you? All
right. Okay. Psalm 46:10. Cease striving. Ooh. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. That is NASB. And then New King James says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
To do with slowing down to meet with God. To know Him, we've got to slow down, be in His presence, soak in His presence. Does that mean we don't pray? Sure, pray. But how about listen? Listen. Everywhere around the world, we actually show people. We go ahead and lay down. Could be a pastor's conference, could be anything. And we say, just listen. Put on some worship music if you have that ability. And just say, Lord, speak to me. He spoke to little Samuel. And I don't think little Samuel said a word. But God was so wanting to speak a word into the nation. He took a little boy that was asleep or nearly asleep. And he thought he was a willing recipient. He was going to go on God's channel. And so he spoke to him. Why didn't he speak to the priest, Eli? Because Eli was busy striving. He didn't cease striving. He was working all the time for the Lord. So little Samuel goes to him and says, did you call me? No, kid, you're bothering me. Go to bed. You call me? You know, the second time, kid, go to bed. You're bothering me. I'm the priest here. I got stuff to do. Finally, the third time, even Eli realized, this boy is meeting with God. This boy is hearing from God. How about you? Do you want to hear from God in 2019? I hope you don't have to go to the First Friday booth to get a picture drawn for you to hear from God. You can hear from God right now, during this message, after this message, when you meet with Him alone, just letting Him speak to you. Slow down. And you could say that to me. Go ahead. Slow down, Pastor Bill. To meet with God, to be still before Him. He's so willing to speak. I'm telling you. Why does He speak so often to me in the shower? And some of you, I've heard it. Oh, He spoke to me in the shower. I'm like, He does that with me. Why? Because we're there. We're doing a mundane thing. Well, you know, I have to wash my hair. That takes forever. Yeah. So I'm doing a mundane thing, like 20 minutes. Make sure, you know, I got it completely soaked. And He's able to speak to us in those moments. Just because we're still for a minute. Shh. What? Yes, Lord? Yes, Lord? Why in bed so often? We're still for a moment. When we wake up and we're not quite awake and we hear something. No, that's not God. That couldn't be God. God, really? I just wake up and He starts speaking to me? He can't wait. If we'd just be still. Slow down. Cease striving. Go ahead, you can say it to me too. And I will, by His grace, this year more than ever. And we're going to hear more then. We are going to hear more from Him, directly from Him. And it's going to be good stuff. Then when you say it to someone that's, you know, down the road spiritually, they're going to go, that's God. They're not going to say, well, let me think about that. They're going to say, that's God. Right away. They're going to recognize it. It isn't you striving to get a word of the Lord. It's the word, the Lord actually speaking to you because you stopped striving. It's awesome. We need to see that increase this year, and I believe it will. Ongoing conversation with Holy Spirit. Remember, this is a way to let God use his microscope on us. Meditating on his word, soaking in his presence, having an ongoing conversation with him. Someone look up John 10:27. Somebody else look up John 14:12-18. Sorry, I interrupted someone. Who was it? Okay, we better get that on. Because I can't hear your voice.
I don't know if you want to bring the microphone that close.
Sure I do.
My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me.
Okay, so we're going to hear his voice and follow. That's important. That we do both. We don't soak all the time. Wow, hearing great stuff from the Lord. He says, go, follow, take what I've given you and give it to the ones I want you to give it to. Have you ever told someone that you've heard something from God that's a total unbeliever? I sure hope so. Because it was done a lot in the Bible. And it's so cool to see the reaction. It's not what you'd expect. Many times, they don't go, well, that's loony. No, very few times has that ever been said to me. Well, that's goofy. No, you didn't hear. There's an interest because they don't hear from God. It's a big key when ministering to Muslims. They do not hear from God. Because they're dead in their spirit. Doesn't matter how many times they bang their head on the floor a day in a mosque. I'm sorry, but that's what it is. And I go to mosques, and I talk to them outside. I don't go into the mosque unless they invite me. But I talk to them outside because that has to be interrupted. You think, oh, God's hearing me. It's not going any higher than the ceiling in the mosque. It's not reaching God. Well, prayer, it always reaches God. No, it doesn't. Sin stops it. Ceiling of sin stops it. What's the sin? I am not going to receive Jesus as God. That's a big one. Now, am I mocking Muslims? No. I go to them. I don't mock them. But I'm not going to accept that, you know, their prayer is like our prayer. It's not. It needs to be purified big time, first of all, by having their spirit come alive so that their prayer is actually making it to the Father. I mean, think about it. A whole lifetime of prayer five times a day going into the mosque, interrupting your schedule. Better than what we do many times. And yet their prayers aren't received. You say, well, that's harsh. No, it's not. It's truth. It'd be harsh if I said, forget them. I don't ever want to talk to a Muslim. They're so foolish. No. I want to see God rescue them. And he is in many nations. The Muslims in Ghana are being rescued. They have nothing else. They're being fooled by the countries that pour money into Ghana, West Africa, to build a school, build a big, huge mosque in the capital city. You can see it from a long distance away. But it's not a place where God dwells. You can make it just as nice as you want to. He wants to dwell inside of them. Each Muslim. And when they find that out and they see he does miracles, signs, wonders in their community, many of them want him. The problem is we've said, oh, Jesus is the answer, and we go to the nation. He's the answer. And the Muslims say, he's a prophet. And the messengers that have gone before have said, how do we argue with that? But you go with signs, wonders, miracles that Jesus wants to produce for them because he loves them. That turns the tables. Are you with me? You with me? That turns the tables when it's the full gospel. It's not the full gospel because we want to look like big time healers. It's the full gospel because that's what transforms people's hearts. Some part of it. It might be Jesus dying on the cross. It might be that they were healed. And then they want Jesus that died on the cross. Did we read John 14, 12 through 18? I don't think we did. Who has that? Several people. You're closest.
Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. The greater works than these he will, these he will do. Because I go to the Father. You said to 15?
18.
Oh, okay. I got myself in deep, apparently. Whatever you say in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commands. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. Am I reading?
Beautiful. Okay, so he says, my sheep hear my voice, and oh, by the way, ask. Ask. Do you hear that? You hear that? Ask. And there are a lot of people saying, well, I don't want to ask. That's, you know, I've asked God for too much. Come on, I've heard it from people in here. You need to ask. He says to ask. Why does he do that? Because he's the only one that can answer properly for us. And it said just before that, that we have to believe in him. And that purifies our asking. You with me? James says, don't ask amiss. What happened with that person? They weren't really believing God. They were believing, I got to get something for myself, for my own little kingdom. I need this. And they ask amiss, God, give it to me. And he's like, I can't give you that. That wouldn't be best for you. But when we believe in Jesus and we ask, and we believe in his best for people and his best for me, and I trust you, God, and so on, and we're asking, he knows it will purify our asking. It'll be according to his will. It'll be according to his kingdom. It's not just for selfish reasons. And when it is, repent. We repent. God, I went and got that thing, thought it was going to be satisfying for me, and it wasn't. So an ongoing conversation with him is like placing ourselves under the microscope. He'll point out things to us in that ongoing conversation. He'll help us see sin quicker. If we're listening for his voice to follow, and then we ask him things after his will, do you think it's good for Pastor Mary Pat and myself to ask that we expand the worship center in Brazil? Yes, apparently, because it went up for sale just before we go down there. Interesting. He wants to do certain things in his will. We could have said, oh, while I'm down there, could I ride around in a Cadillac, God? That'd be kind of cool. Pull up to the, you know, community, the poor community in a Cadillac. Wouldn't that be fun? drop me off, and they could see that the kingdom gives you things, I'd be asking amiss. By the way, it's more fun to take Uber in Brazil. Much more of an adventure. The last Uber driver I had, he saw me put the guitar in, and he said, "So, do you play guitar?" "No, I carry around a heavy instrument just for fun." No, I didn't say that. I said, "Yes." He said, "Ooh, like, what, you part of a group?" I said, "No, not really. It's kind of hard to answer that." "Well, tell me about it." I said, "Well, I travel around the world and do worship for Jesus." "Oh," he says, "I like that music." And he immediately turned the channel on the radio to Christian music. So if you want, you know, your kind of music in an Uber, carry around a guitar, say something about worship, and they want to please the customer. So I got it out of the guitar, out of the car. It was like 2 a.m. or something, and I got the guitar out, and he was like, "Oh." He says, "Oh, you are rock stars." That's not the way it works. And so I started playing for him out on the street, and one of the neighbors started to complain, one of Inez's neighbors, so I shut it down real quick. But he was enjoying it while it lasted. That told you it was fun in Brazil. So, by the way, these slides, we put some slides on there, and they don't look so good. They're like disease and different things he wants to cure in us. But God also puts slides on there. And he puts good things that we can, you know, he can look through and see us the way he wants us to be. He puts in the fruit of the Spirit, you know, Galatians 5, 22 through 24, right in there. Fruit of the Spirit. He puts those things on the slide so we can see what we should be like. Not just, "Ugh, this looks terrible," in a disease or something. He puts good things on there so we can see what we should be like. Fruit of the Spirit, the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, 1 through 12. He puts those on the microscope. So our slides might look like pride, selfishness, judgment, offense, bitterness, unforgiveness. His slides, fruit of the Spirit, Beatitudes, prophetic things he wants to speak into our life. Those are some of the slides he also puts on there, so that we know we're valued by him, that he has something ahead of us. Which brings us to the telescope. Can't see a thing. Okay, well, I'll figure out how this thing works later. An arrangement of lenses, mirrors, or prisms in a tube allowing the viewer to see objects reflected on the other end. Telescope, right? How would God use a telescope in our lives? And who's looking through it? Thank you for that answer. See what's coming. Prophetic. Ooh, these are some of the things I wrote down. Good. This is going to move this along. Show us the bigger picture. Or else I had that down. Or if I didn't, I meant to. Bring things closer. How about future into the now? God likes to bring the future into the now. We can look, and he'll give us a picture of what's coming for us. And it's, well, let's read Jeremiah 29:11-13. Who has that? Can read it out very loudly? Okay.
"For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and to give you hope in a future," is the first one.
Good stuff.
All right, thank you.
Nice and slow when you get it.
Yeah. I'll just repeat the first one. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not of calamity, to give you a hope and a future. When you call upon me, and come and pray to me. I will listen to you, and you will seek me when you find me, when you search for me with all of your heart. How far?
That's good.
Okay.
Read it again, though.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and if not for calamity, to give you a hope and a future. When you will call upon me and come to me and to pray, when you call upon me and come to me, pray to me, I will listen to you. You will seek me when and find me when you search me with all of your heart.
Okay, so he knows the plans for us right now. What's going to happen in the future?
He knows those right now. He knows the plans for us right now. What's going to happen in the future? And it says in this version, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. So if you take the two translations together, the plans that he has are the thoughts he has. And how many thoughts does he have of you? You're going to have to say it louder on the microphone.
Outnumber the grains of sand and the seashore. Okay.
Okay, the thoughts he has towards us are more than the grains of sand on the seashores. Now, you think God's up there going, what a fool. What an idiot. Those are the thoughts, you know, he's not saying it. These are thoughts, sorry. He's thinking this. What an absolute failure. Is that the kind of thoughts that he would have? Or empowering thoughts that would bring plans for our welfare? He wants to empower our lives with his thoughts. That's why he thinks about us all the time. He wants us to be powerful, and he makes plans for us, for our welfare. And what's he say? He wants us to draw near to him. He wants us to search for him with all of our heart. But what he does is he puts it out there. I have a good plan for you. Oh, there could be some rough things in between to get there, but there's a great plan for you out there. A plan to use your life for destiny, as a pioneer, to use your life to affect people, not just throw your life away on something that's just not going to last. Could Bill Gates build computers and also serve Jesus to the maximum? Certainly. Certainly. And all of Microsoft could be under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it could bless people, the computers, even more. And maybe some of it would be purified. Maybe put something in it that would stop some of the stuff people do on them. Who knows? Yeah, the reason I know that is because Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, he has invented something that has blessed many people, and yet he's an absolutely nutcase Christian. You know, I told you a couple weeks ago that he put in $1 million towards a movie that's against abortion. And then he wanted to go ahead and take this part where he gets in this heavy equipment and knocks something down in the movie. And they said, well, don't you want a stunt double? I want to do it myself. I want my face to be seen as knocking this down as if abortion was right in front of him. Pretty cool. Now, if you've seen him on the commercials, I mean, it's just like, yes, God can use somebody like that. I identify with Mike. I really do. Especially when people are having prophetic words about pastors being clowns. Love it. I really love it. It was so encouraging. I laughed till I couldn't stand up, except Pastor Mary Pat fell down first. I'm just kidding. So God has this plan for us out there, but it says in this passage as well as, you know, James 4:8, we need to draw near to him to figure it out. And how many of us struggle with that? Drawing near to God. And it's really not as hard as we think. We're trying to get time away to draw near with him all the time, which is good. But that's not enough time. We got to draw near to him when we're moving as well. Draw near to him in our prayer closet, in our soaking time, but as we're moving through life, the ongoing conversation kind of thing. Draw near to him in every moment, every breath. Don't just take a pocket of your day and say, oh, God, I only could give you 5 minutes today. No, you give him your whole day. You just happen to be with him alone with no distractions for 5 minutes. It's going to be expanded this year, right? Carry him through the day. Think about those plans he has for you. If you don't think about that goal ahead of you, that destiny ahead of you, you'll kind of forget about it as all the stuff comes into your day. Tell me that doesn't happen. And that's what helps with having people around us, because you can come up to them and, oh, man, I'm just having a rough day. Well, you know what? God loves you. He has a beautiful plan for your life. Somewhere I heard that. Speaking positive things into you when you're not feeling that positive. But if you're an orphan, you just wander the streets. No one's speaking to you. No one's building you up. You need a family. You need to find who that family is and be an upstanding member. God's plan, will, destiny for you in affecting the destiny of others to receive what God has for them. Your destiny affects destinies of others. It's just the way it is. Doggone it, take the responsibility to affect the destinies of others. And you should say it back to me. Doggone it, take this responsibility to affect the destiny of others. Okay, I will. It's big stuff. Pioneers affect the destiny of others. They just do. It affected the destiny of my family members. It's affected the destiny of your family members. If it hasn't yet, it will. If it hasn't yet, it will. If it hasn't yet, it will. Because it's under the household. If you are a radical sold-out pioneer. If you're a putsy pioneer, don't expect much. But if you're going to go after it, you can expect amazing things to happen to your family, friends, co-workers, schoolmates. That friends list on Facebook. Maybe some of your posts will start looking different. Okay. So part of this telescope thing was some people got this very early. Mary, she was a pioneer, the mother of Jesus. She got it. How do I know she got it? That she, you know, she's going to look through the telescope and see in the future. Because at the wedding of Cana, and I've said this probably so much before, but the Bible repeats it, and you read it several times in your lifetime. I'm just one of the times you're going to hear it again. Right? We all need it repeated. Mary's at the wedding of Cana, and she says, Jesus, they've run out of wine. And he says to her, this is John 2. He says to her, what's that got to do with me, woman? Jesus, this is your mother. Show a little respect. Show a little respect for your mom. What's this have to do with me, woman? Jesus says, his relatives are the ones that do his will. So she was being challenged. Are you doing my will right now, Mary? I don't care if you're my mother or not. You're a woman to me if you're not doing my will. You're not my mother. You're not my sister. You do my will. You do my will. She doesn't answer him. She says to the servants, whatever he says to do, do it. What? Jesus just told you no. Jesus just told you no. Ain't doing it. Not today. Ain't my time. He didn't talk like that, but it's more fun. In the movies, it's not my time. He didn't speak like that either. Were those containers filled with wine at the end of the process? Yes. But he told her no. What did she see? She saw the future. She saw you are going to start your miracle ministry at some point. Why not today? Bless these people at this wedding. I mean, all that would be, the only thing that would happen would be disappointed guests. Or they wouldn't be so drunk. If you believe it was real wine. But he decided just to start it right then because someone saw his heart to start his ministry. I want to bless these people. I'm part of them. I'm the son of man. Used more times than the son of God in the Bible. And so he just went with that request. It was a test. It says he'll test us. It was a test. Do you really understand my heart, Mary, woman, mother, whoever you are? Do you really understand my heart? It's not my time. Your time is no time because there's no time in heaven. And you're on heaven's time. So it is your time, Jesus. Who knows how much Mary understood? I don't understand it. But he decided to bless this small little place, this small wedding. Now just think about it. The family pictures 20 years down the road. Jesus was at my wedding. And we had a little water turned into wine. How many times did he come to your wedding? None. We took pictures. Okay, we didn't take pictures. But we drew drawings of him turning the water. And they probably talked about it for generations. It was the first miracle. It happened in my wedding. He loved us as a couple so much and loved Mary, that woman. And the master of ceremonies who would have been a little put out that he didn't really fulfill what his duties were. Minor, minor, minor. But Jesus just did it because he was wanting to start blessing them in a whole new way, wanted to start his ministry. And Mary could see it. Woman that had a demonized daughter, same thing. He told her no 3 times. Read it. It's in Matthew 15, 21 through 28. It'd be great if we could go through that, but it's already way over. 3 times he told her no, one way or another. One time he turned his back to her. It was a test. But she knew his heart. And she said, even the little dogs get the crumbs from the table. Oh, woman, you have such faith. You're from the wrong side of the tracks. You don't belong. in this company. You don't, you're a Gentile. You don't deserve what the children deserve, the children of Israel. But you know my heart is bigger than the children of Israel. You have looked into the future, O Canaanite woman, and you have what your heart desires. And her child, her daughter, in a different location, was healed from that moment. Because she knew, whether she knew it theologically or not, she knew it heart-wise that Jesus cared about Gentiles as much as he cared about Jews. And she was before Peter got that revelation in Acts. She was before the apostle. She got it before the apostle, a village woman. And she received a healing for her daughter after hearing basically three times from Jesus, no. She saw his heart. What's it take to believe God has a big destiny for us? We have to trust him. It goes back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, doesn't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. We lean on our own understanding so much. That's the natural. What's the supernatural? Trusting God. What pleases him? Extreme faith. Hebrews 11, 6. Trust and faith, very much related. You trust because you have faith. Trust is increased by an increased faith. Only God can do it, so you have to draw near to him to have your faith increased. I can't increase my own faith. My mustard seed never seems to grow. I have to give that mustard seed to him, then he grows it for me, and then gives it back to me. I love it. I can stay a little child and have my faith grow to be very mighty. If I just realize who is the source of it, who is the one that deserves all my trust. You heard a lot of that this weekend. And of course, this, someone already mentioned, prophetic, isn't it? Any prophetic word is something spoken into you for the future. Something that's going to be part of your life that may not be part of your life. You spoke over many things over us to, as we go to Brazil. That's the telescope. Seeing ahead. And also, you know, we're seeing him better. We have to see him better in order to believe that he's going to produce that destiny in the future. And by the way, it's not just our destiny. I want to achieve my destiny. You want to achieve the destiny God has for you to change the destiny of others. He doesn't just have a destiny for you alone so you can feel good. He has a destiny that affects people. And the message on honor, alignment, and favor fits into this as well. If we honor him by looking ahead and saying, yes, I want to reach the finish line well. I want to run well and reach the finish line. And when I do, I want to be saying, wow, God, look what you did through my life to touch other people. Then I will align myself with him. Everything that he has so that I can reach that finish line and not fall to the wayside somewhere along the race. Many people are doing that. They're going great guns for a while, but then they fall off to the side. They refuse correction. They get offended. They get bitter. They're mad at somebody. And all of a sudden, they're not on a race anymore. They're just wandering around. If we're in that alignment, though, it brings favor. It brings that destiny. Periscope. Last one. I think we have a diagram. See above your circumstances.
Yes.
Any others? Spine. Ooh. I'm going to have I hadn't thought of that one, but that's true. Okay, so basic periscope, eye, you can see. They took the eye out so you could see it there. You look in, and there's a 45-degree reflection, and then another 45-degree reflection, and you can see an object. They can't see you, but you can see them. And so you see water here on my example. Submarine would be the one where a periscope's used for military purposes and so on, spying different things, seeing what's out there. Is there a ship that we could destroy? That type of thing. So we do look above our circumstances when we use God's periscope. If we look in and we can see what he sees instead of just we're underwater or behind a wall. We're cornered. How do we get out of here? Life is too difficult. Things are coming against me. You don't know how much I have on my... Yo, man, this is terrible. We can live like that. Or we can look through God's periscope. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Not on earthly things. Do you know how many Christians are living naturally when they supposedly believe in a supernatural God? They approach things naturally. It's because they're not really using God's periscope to look over those natural things into the supernatural realm. This is the heavenly throne room stuff. We have to look above earth. We can't just look at circumstances logically with our minds only. Our minds are in the process, but they are beholden to our spirit that rises up over our circumstances. I've often used the example of the Goodyear blimp, that if you were to stand and put your nose against the Goodyear blimp, it's on the ground, you're not flying. You put your nose up against the Goodyear blimp, all you can see is the Goodyear blimp. You're not going to be able to see anything else if you have your nose up against the Goodyear blimp. But God sees from heaven at the Goodyear blimp, and it looks like a little spot. It looks like nothing. But to us, it looks huge because we've got our nose up against this. And if we look at our circumstances that way, oh my gosh, how are we going to get... There's no way that this can... Yes, there is. The God of the impossible. When you're facing the Red Sea, it opens. When you're facing the burning bush, it talks to you. We have to encourage one another to be like that, though. Because life circumstances burden us down. But what does he say to do with those? Cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. It's a command. Cast it. Put it on me. Put all your heavy burdens on me today, now. I can carry them. I'll give you the light side of the yoke. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why does he say that? Because he's willing to take it all on himself. He already did. We need to let him have those burdens rather than worry, 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 worry. Fear, 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 letting it rise up. So keeping heavenly things in mind, seeing above your circumstances, it's about kingdom. It's about heavenly realm. It's about supernatural. All the things you heard about this weekend, if you were here and if you weren't, you're hearing them now. An unbeliever can't see in the supernatural. An unbeliever cannot see in the supernatural unless God's drawing him to receive him. Then they have that moment of seeing in the supernatural. They see Jesus for who he really is. And then because of that, their spirit is made alive. And from that point on, they can start seeing in the supernatural. They can see supernatural happen in front of them. They can see supernatural happen inside of them. They can see what goes on in the world supernaturally, they're looking over a wall that the rest of the people are behind the wall, and they go, I don't see anything. Or they're underwater. I don't see anything. Why? Unbelievers are blind. I was blind. It's nothing against them. It's just what is. Blind, blind, blind. They cannot see. If they discover some nugget of God's truth, it's everywhere, okay? But they stumbled over it. Where God can lead us to it. You know, if they run across a beautiful brook, they stumbled, and, oh, there's a beautiful brook. But the shepherd can lead us to the beautiful brook all the time, good pasture all the time. In 2019, that's what I want for you. To be led more by the Spirit of God, not these natural things, not things that any unbeliever could figure out. And it's nothing wrong against them. I was one. I want them in the kingdom. I want them rescued. But I don't want to act like them. The Bible says don't. I don't want to operate in life like them naturally. I want to act more and more supernaturally, above my circumstances, above my situation, seeing over it. Remember, two spies and how many other spies? 10, wasn't it? Two spies and 10. Two, 10. So if you actually do God's periscope thing, you're two. You're going to be in a minority. You're going to be peculiar. You're going to be weird. You're going to say weird things. I had a vision, and I decided it was from God. I ran it by spiritual leaders. They thought it was from God. I went back to the Word. I asked him to repeat it, and he repeated it, and I quit my job and started ministry. Who does that? That's dumb. You got to see how much money you're going to make in ministry. Then you decide whether you quit your job. You're going to see if you're going to make any money at all. Then you quit your job. You don't stop your educational process and start working in an office, in a church, when you could have gone on to a master's degree. A master's degree. A master's degree in the world. Not a bad thing if God leads you there. But if he says, give it up, I have a master's degree also. I have a master's degree. It's in impacting the world. It's in looking over your circumstances and seeing what I have for you. Wow. Take that every time. Don't settle for what anybody that doesn't believe in Jesus settles for. You're called citizens of God, citizens of heaven for a reason, sons and daughters of God for a reason. Quit settling. Quit settling this year, 2019. Can't be a pioneer if you settle. Right? Those are settlers, not pioneers. Those are settlers. It's the ones that go to Kansas. There's free land here in Kansas. I'm settling right here where the free land is. But there's gold in them there hills in California. And some kept going. And aren't we glad that they pioneered the great state of California that's way out there. But anyway, we're going to see Jesus turn California around. So part of the periscope is not loving the world, is it? Behind the wall, you kind of love your circumstances, love the world. You're like, I don't see anything any different to do. But when you get the periscope that looks over the wall, you say, wow, we can defeat those giants in the land. We can take that promised land. There can be milk and honey that flows for the for the glory of God. Father, we pray that every person got the picture of the microscope, the telescope, the periscope from your perspective, not what I've shared, what they have revealed to their hearts by Holy Spirit, God. Take their lives apart, including me, this year, and put it back together. Father, that we would honor your name and glorify your name higher and greater. We thank you for every speaker this weekend that's spoken the same thing out from their own frame of reference, God, saying they wanted themselves to be different this year. And their destiny was affecting the destiny of others. Whether we heard it or not, it was spoken into the atmosphere. And it's here affecting us if we receive it. Father, we thank you, Jesus. You're so much bigger than what we've allowed you to be. We want you to be as big as you really are in our lives, in our destinies, in our future, in our ministry this year, God, in our work life, everything, God. And yes, Lord, we're going to spy the land, as Mike said. We're going to spy with that periscope, and we're going to say, we can do it. We can take it, God, because you're backing us up. We'll do the impossible, trusting the God of the impossible. Jesus, give us the ability to take Brazil in the spirit and see so many people's lives changed right in front of us, God. Lord, we trust you for that. We don't even know where to start, but you do, and you'll lead us. You'll guide us, shepherd. We're just sheep, but you'll guide us, and if you have to, you'll carry us on our shoulder, on your shoulder, so we can lean over and our ear can hear your heart beating for us and for the nations. Jesus, we love that about you. Always willing to rescue us. You are our Redeemer. You redeem everything in our lives. We give you praise, Lord. We honor you today, God. During this preparatory weekend to send a team to another country, God, it never gets old for me. I pray that no one here lets this become business as usual. It's exciting. It's incredible. It's a miracle every time that there are those that want to take the land rather than cower in a corner. Lord, take us out of the corners. Take us from behind the curtains like you did me when I had hair. Lord God, I hid behind so many things. Jesus, you're good to turn us into something other than just who we are, beyond who we are, through your powerful Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.